Any other discussion? Or is there, you know, this land, we did vote to put it up for auction, and the adjacent property owners can bid on the lots as well as anybody else desires to.
So the only thing, I'm so confused, and I'm sure the public is, but my understanding is whether we're vacating or creating a public access, that is required to be able to build on this property. Otherwise, it is a flag lot without public access to a proper road, correct? And I believe that's in our code. No, yes.
I understand your question.
And I think I may be incorrect because you've got that public use easement across the other two lots that would provide the access necessary. So you only want 20 feet to allow a utility corridor, not actually access to that property. Okay, thank you very much.
I've got Liz, since you're close. There is a platted easement on this lot 10 already that we're vacating.
Lot 10 was created by the federal government, so there really isn't like a subdivision plat or anything. So when we had the lot surveyed, the survey 3276 creates a public access easement 100 feet wide. The middle of that easement is that property line between lot 10 and the lots to the south of it.
Okay.
So when the surveyor looked to see if the easement had been vacated, we couldn't find anything where it had been vacated. I had the title company search to see whether that easement existed. They found nothing. So the only record we have is the field notes, basically, from this U.S. Survey 3276. So the advice of the surveyor was to vacate it to clear up any perceived easement that may or may not be there. But if you're vacating an easement that doesn't exist, really, it was never there anyway. And if it was there, then it clarifies the question for the future property owner. That was the intent anyway.
So Liz, real quickly then, what we're doing is we're either vacating a piece of property that either existed or didn't exist, and then we're creating a 20-foot wide easement. So now we are creating something. Yes, we would be creating something positive here. We know that this is what this resolution is going to create, where on the other hand, we're not sure if we're adding or removing other than through words. Legally, that 50-foot right away.
It's a paper trail, really. Okay. Is what so you're that, kind this of is really clear. Clear up.
This is really clear to me.
Is it really crystal now? Okay, good. Because
which
too.
Is a big head shake here.
Yeah.
For you and the radio audience.
And just to clarify, you're not vacating property. You're vacating public interest in a piece of property.
Right. Which would though affect public at some point, because you're vacating something that they would never be able to use again. And if one of the recommendations from the planning and zoning was to leave this as kind of a green strip, you know, maybe going down this one vein that Cindy was headed down, making that a public access instead of a private access, would that somehow, even though we've been told that it's unwalkable, you know, so.
Well, that wasn't my point. It was just that our code says, in order, unless this lot had a variance, if it didn't have access to an approved road, it couldn't be developed. This public use easement across the Evans's property and the adjoining property owner, I'll give that public access, and so development is legal. And that, I was just trying to make sure all of the puzzle pieces fit.
Nancy, you had a comment?
I have an observation. We're taking a 50-foot public access easement and turning it into a 20-foot utility easement?
Private access and utility easement.
Okay. That little driveway turnout seems pretty utilitarian. Like a utility.
No. I don't know that it would necessarily fall under that. I think when we talk about utility access, we're talking about power lines and water and sewer. So I don't know that it's ever been, maybe, I don't know that it's intended to mean access by a neighboring owner. But you know.
Eric?
Well, seeing, we've kind of drawn a fake easement line that kind of cuts across both 10 and then lot 9, the Keeneman's property. If we were to vacate that easement and then bring in the 20-foot, where would that end up going? Would that end up going through Keeneman's property at the end, or would it then kind of like turn into the where the driveway is for both Evans and Nora's?
You're not vacating anything on lot 9. You're only looking at lot 10.
Okay.
And anyway, Mr. Keeneman doesn't believe that there is an easement, so no need to vacate on his lot.
So I agree. I see what you're saying, Eric. The new property owner of lot 10 could build a road up to the property corner, and then it'd have to go down onto the existing road.
Yep. Roger.
And Liz, if the assembly wanted to amend, make a recommendation to amend this for the pullout, how would they do that?
I would just say, and then creating an easement, a pullout adjacent to lot N, as shown on the site survey. Normally, we would have a size, so we can kind of guesstimate what that size would be of the easement.
We actually have to have...
We probably would put something like this attached to it so that we could show, when we recorded it, so we could show exactly where that turnout is and make it clear that that turnaround is for the benefit of lot N, the owner of lot N.
And then we have to remember that the owner of lot 9 also said that he would like to... have it modified to be able to remove trees, too, to add their trees, so it might get complicated. Nancy?
One more question. A person using that turnout for 42 years can't claim it from a municipality. No. Can they claim it from the new property owner?
I believe.
Under adverse possession statute?
Mm-hmm.
Believe under adverse possession, you need to be using a piece of property blatantly without permission for 7 years before you can claim
that. So it would take 7 years after it was bought by a private person for someone to?
Yeah, and she'd have to use it without permission. So if the new property owner said, sure, you can use it, then that gives her permission to use it, but then that property owner could revoke that at any time. So to keep it intact as a right to that property owner, it's better, for this property owner and future property owners, if that's the intent, then you want to do that through an easement. All very clear, I'm sure.
Okay, any other questions of Liz? Did you want to address that? Okay, do you want to say anything about that or no?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah. So the motion on the floor is to vacate a 50-foot public access easement on parcel 01014125 located at 919 Sandy Beach Road and replace it with a 20-foot private access and utility easement. And that's we've had no formal amendments, so we will be voting on the main motion as presented. If there's no other comments. Clerk, call the roll.
Mark?
Yes.
Cindy? No.
Bob?
No.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
No.
Eric?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
So I lost tally. That was 4-3, I believe, in
passes,
favor.
Yes.
Yeah. And which members voted against, just for the record?
Oh,
Cindy.
Cindy, Bob, and Kurt.
Okay. Notes. All right. Resolution 2016-25 passes. Now, next item on the agenda is the discussion of Entrance Island, Kuprinoff, and Pappy's Landing Docks. I'll entertain a motion to start the discussion on the borough's position on those acquisitions.
So move.
Second.
The motion's been made by Member Walhooter, seconded by Member Loganakis. So everybody, I think, has received the latest letter from the state. I've been going back and forth with Mike Lukshin from DOT, just informally, not taking any action, and just mentioned the fact about, you know, I asked him pointedly if we could transfer the ownership of Kuprinoff, or if the state could, the Kuprinoff facility, to the city of Kuprinoff, and he said yes, but it'd be complicated. And then in the last paragraph of his letter, he said that, you know, gave some kind of a scenario how we would take over, you know, Pappy's and Kuprinoff, and then the borough would keep the ownership.
Mr. Mayor,
yes.
I'm sorry for interrupting. I think that we need a better motion to start discussion, because this isn't just about discussion. You either need to make a motion to accept or, you know, and second, and then discuss. Sorry.
Okay, maybe we should have had it worded better in the resolution, the caption here, where it, you know, so, okay. I'll entertain a motion to move forward with the acquisition of the Entrance Island, Kuprinoff Dock, and Pappy's Dock from the state of Alaska.
And I'll rescind my first, and I'll still move this one.
Is there a second?
I will second.
Okay.
Both of the same. I'll rescind mine and do the same.
Kurt and Cindy have motion.
Thank you. I apologize.
Anyway, back to my train of thought here. So we've been going back and forth with Mr. Lushkin, and just like the information that our manager kind of received from William from Department of Corrections, the state's trying to, in my opinion, make us kind of take these over, which, you know, I think they're beneficial to the area for sure. I'm just trying to find his last letter so I can read it so the public has a copy of it. So anyway, he goes through the scenario of us taking the ownership, transferring it to Kuprinoff, just for them to operate it and maintain it, but the borough would actually ultimately still have ownership of it, which, if you ask our insurance carrier, would make us liable if anybody was hurt on there. But then he says, if the borough is interested in the above compromise, then we are unlikely to force the borough into an all-or-nothing deal, i.e. that the borough has to also take the Entrance Island float in order to get the Pappy's float. I think the compromise offers everyone a lot. So that's part of the discussion we've had, just to let everybody know. So now, any discussion? Cindy.
Is there anything that prevents us, after taking possession of the Kuprinoff dock, to transferring it to Kuprinoff?
If I'm not mistaken, with the information I've read, currently at this time, it's not allowed by our code. Cindy, can you, or Debbie, can you?
That's true. We do have to do a charter amendment, which needs to go before the voters.
It needs to be on a ballot.
Right. And my understanding is we had that charter amendment. We need it anyhow to be able to transfer other things to Kuprinoff, et cetera.
Correct. And we do have a draft ordinance that was written by our attorney in July, I believe it is, and there's just been so much going on that it has not come forward to you yet, but it can at any time, I believe.
And then that wouldn't happen until the election in 2015.
Correct.
Unless we have, but there's, yeah, okay, not to say we couldn't work that into the agreement to take ownership, and then if, you know, we change that. Jay, sorry.
No, you're good. And if I'm understanding it correctly, also Kuprinoff also needs to change their charter to be able to receive.
Which they have already.
They've done that.
Got it. Cool. Good deal.
Okay. Mark, on that letter that you've got, that's a very good. It's a very good letter. I can interpret it about four different ways that he sent us. Is your interpretation that we, under that, with that letter, that we would not have to take Entrance Island and they would still be willing to give us $700,000?
That dollar value hasn't been talked about us in a while. We've talked about between us for a while, but he did mention in a conversation in the past that if we decided not to take Entrance Island, it would might go back to the original offer of $500,000+. But that's not to say that the borough couldn't go along with Steve's scenario. You know, right. Ask them for, you know, for instance, $1.2 million, and then take it and then split it between, you know, and not take Entrance Island. But what? Who knows what their response is going to be? We need to come up with some kind of an answer to the state and a counter offer, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I thought he left in that very last letter that he had sent you, that you forwarded, that I can read that about three different ways. But one of them was is that they would be willing to keep money up, even with us not taking it. But that's just one interpretation, as I say, of that.
Yeah.
And I'm not advocating it.
So any other discussion? We need to draft some kind of a response.
For purposes, let me see if I can. I'll take the two easier ones first. Entrance Island, I do not believe we should take. I think that it would cost a couple $100,000 to demolish it if we took it. It doesn't buy us anything, and we're still down to $500,000, you know, no matter what we do. That would be my first. Kuprinoff. I believe Kuprinoff should have the right to do with that dock because it serves their interests, and they should be able to manage it. They should be able to do whatever they want to with it. And so my intent would be to take it either directly from the state or that we, as a borough, transfer it to them with a bill of sale to give it to them. I'll stop there and see where everybody else is at.
Nancy?
I was under the impression that if we took them, we had to maintain them for public use in perpetuity.
They have to stay in public use because they were constructed with federal and government dollars.
And
so they can't turn it over to a lodge or...
How can we tear one of them out?
Well, you can, but you have to notify them. If we took ownership, the state was saying that you don't have to... ask their permission if we own it, but they would like to know, and you have to go through the proper disposal of the remnants, or whatever you want to call it, with DEC. So you understand it, Steve? That's kind
correct.
Of,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I understood it. Go ahead, Jay.
I guess to put it simply, on those two pieces alone, nice, linear, I'm with you. There's more variables, and I feel like I can keep track of in my head to get to that point. But yes, if they fell into place, I think it's a good start.
It might be useful for the assembly to whittle this down. You know, take Bob's two issues, vote on them, get them on the record, and then move through this.
I agree. That's what my intention of was putting this on the agenda as an action item was to get a response from the borough to DOT, and then see because we've got till January 1st till they take the offer off the table unless they extend it for the funding. Nancy?
And I think before we take over, especially PAPKIs, we need to make it clear that we're only taking the float. We don't have, we won't have the tidelands, we won't have the uplands, we won't have the ramps, that it's only the float that we're accepting.
I agree. And in the discussions with the questions and answers that we sent to DOT asking them, about conveyance of the tidelands, they say, well, it's never been a problem before from DNR, but that doesn't mean that these are going to go smooth. And we have to remember that we do not have a core permit that anybody can locate for the Kuprinoff float. So does that involve cost and, of application to the core to get the permit? So there's a lot of things we need to meld into this response to them counteroffer, whatever you want to call it.
So to move it a little bit farther on, I'll make a motion that we not accept in our response, not accept Entrance Island, that the borough one either would like the state to negotiate either directly with Kuprinoff or that if it's transferred to the borough, that the borough has the option to give Kuprinoff a bill of sale for that facility, for the Kuprinoff facility.
Okay. So is there a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
Okay. So we've kind of already maybe put the cart before the horse and have had the discussion about this, but any more discussion on that approach? Okay.
I think it'd be important in that letter to ask the state to rectify the core permitting. I think that right now they're asking that, you know, okay, you can take that, you know, take this on, then you figure it out. I'd rather have to see the state do the dirty work on that. Something I'd like to see thrown in there, I guess, if that makes sense.
Well, it was discussed earlier in the meeting about how long it took, and I don't know if it was actually 20 years to get the land at the Scott mm-hmm. turn around mm-hmm. conveyed to us from yeah. DNR, but it's been
a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. so it was a long, long time, and maybe that should be one of the caveats we put in there. We'll take them, but you need to clean up the tide. You know, we'd like ownership of the tide lands.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be conveyed from DNR, am I not? Am I correct? I mean, I don't think that's asking too much. I would think the state entities could work between themselves, maybe with a little pushing from our legislators, but I don't know if this environment, how it's going to work out.
Could we, I like that idea. Could I then amend the motion that would say that on Kuprinoff that we ask that they clear up, that the state clear up the issue on with the Corps of Engineer permits for that particular dock before one of the two options would go? That makes sense.
And you might want to consider DNR as well, because there's tidelands for Kuprinoff.
Right. Oh, I agree. Yes, I would add DNR, the tidelands issue.
So that would be our approach to say we'll take the two over as long as we could, Kuprinoff and Packies, as long as we can convey 100% ownership to the borough, city of Kuprinoff, and maybe throw the most current letter in there from the mayor, Mayor Reinhart's, and then ask for the tidelands to be conveyed to us and come up with a core permit. Does that make sense?
That's in the form of a motion now?
I think that, you know, I guess to technically do it, we'd have to amend it again, but
yes.
I think for what
Which
we're doing,
I could
just
do.
Sending a letter, yeah. And this, I guess this is actually formal action, but it's not signing a bill of sale, or I'm sure, I mean, I don't know what their response is going to be, but.
The worst they can say is no.
I don't know if it'll be favorable to our plan here.
Let's kick the can down the road there.
Yeah. Eric,
Steve, are you question or worried?
No, I mean, what I was going to, I mean, I think the response to the state is not a bad way to go. I mean, not just accepting their offer, but going back and saying, no, here's, if you want us to take these, you need to deal with these issues, and the assembly needs to outline what those issues are. The DNR issue, I think, is pretty important. You know, those facilities operate under a management agreement with DNR, so DOT operates them, has an agreement with DNR. There's no guarantee that DNR will want to do the same agreement with the borough. That's the way it's been done in the past, but times have changed the state recently. You know, when they're asking us to, you know, eliminate 6 streetlights because they don't want to pay for them anymore, it tells me a little bit about the fiscal reality that they're living with. So I think it's to the assembly's benefit to be very specific on what you expect them to provide back to you folks, meaning you want deed to the tidelands, you want the core permits worked out, whatever that you want, $1.2 million, whatever that is that the assembly is. And I think you need to be genuine in that if you say that to the state and they come forward and say, hey, yeah, we'll do that, you're willing to accept it. That wouldn't be cool to do to them if you put them through the ringer and then they come back and say,
I agree.
The assembly changes their mind.
So, Eric, you had something, and then Jay?
Yeah, just kind of like a couple steps back. I hate to do this, but so say come January 1st and we don't have an agreement in place with them. Has your discussion at all with DOT shown that they'll probably rescind all $700,000+, or is there a chance that we would lose out on any funding from the state?
He hasn't really said that, and I think once we, this is just my personal feeling, once we start the dialogue about how we can take them over and they see that we're interested in any of them, they might keep the discussion going. I don't think they want the docks. I was getting 2 calls a week from DOT, so. And I told him every time we haven't made a decision. I told him we'd discuss it at this meeting. So I don't know if he's listening or not. Okay.
Mr. Manager, you're referring to the $1.2 million. I assume you're referring to the 50% deferred maintenance.
Yeah, I just threw that out there as a number earlier. You know, you look at the engineer's during the comp plan that we had to take a look at it, that looked at the pilings, particularly at Papke's, which are not in really good shape. And, you know, they had an estimate of 2 point total. And Kuprinoff, 2.4, I think, was the estimate. You know, so I just picked that number. Half of that, if in fact the harbor deferred maintenance program still exists, and trust me, you know, don't assume that will be the case, you need a 50% match on that. So if the state gave the borough $1.2 million, you split it into the two parts for the two facilities, put it in separate accounts, and say, okay, if the match program still exists and if it's funded, the borough has the matching funds available to get repairs done. That's where that number came from. So, again, I want to caution the assembly, that's a risk, because that program, just like many other state programs, may very well go away.
And the city of Kuprinoff doesn't qualify to participate in those matching grant programs. So why, I'm not sure. But
I'm not. It depends on whether or not, when I read the statutes, and Sarah's even the second-class city, they could take ownership. I disagree with, you know.
I think they could take ownership, but I don't know that they can participate in the grant program. And I don't know why. Glow, is that the impression you've got? That's,
it would have to come through us.
Yeah, that would have to. And if we,
I mean, following that vein, though, that's something since we have till January 1st, I don't think it could hurt to ask for funds like that as well on there. Because that changes things a lot if, in fact, that harbor fund still exists, because who knows what will play out. But that's something I don't think it can hurt to ask for. It makes it things much more viable, I think, for us as a borough, if, in fact, the state was that motivated to get out of the dock business. Giving us 50% for potentially matching funds would help us a lot.
It would.
Food for thought.
If we take them over, it'd be nice to have them in a 100% condition, but that would be in a perfect world. Kurt?
One more comment here. With all the different things that are going around and confusion as to what exists and what doesn't exist and whether they can take it or whether they couldn't take it, would it be better if we just kind of tabled this one and we come back at the next meeting with an actual resolution that we can agree upon, or do we want to make a third amendment to what's already been amended? I mean, I was just wondering where we want to go with that.
Well, I feel now that we have a motion on the floor without, you can only make a couple of amendments to an motion before you have to
fix
it. But maybe I think we're just compiling a response. You know, and I think we need to respond and get, you know, their rebuttal back, which I don't think is going to take long.
We aren't voting on accepting their offer.
No.
No.
Because if we are, then I move to table. But which a person can do. If we're just discussing it more with them, I'm okay with it. But I don't think we should accept it until they've answered our concern, our qualifications.
Yeah. Right. My motion was to go back, is to go back with a letter with our position and what we want to do, Nancy.
Okay.
And I agree not to take it as they're proposing. And what I'm proposing is not to take Entrance Island, to take Kuprinoff, and to allow, I have two options here. One is it in our letter, is that we say we'd like the state either to transfer directly to Kuprinoff, the Kuprinoff dock, or if it's transferred to the borough, that we will then give them a bill of sale for that dock. And then I amended the motion to include that we wanted them to research and to provide the Corps of Engineers permit for the Kuprinoff dock, and two, that they provide, they work with DNR to transfer the tidelands as part of that facility.
Okay.
And we can add to that, but that sounds like the gist of it, Cindy.
Well, I do think, though, we need to address the dollar amount, because we've gone back and forth with that, and they've offered the $732,000. I was not in favor of dropping that just because they were going to leave Entrance Island off because the money wasn't sufficient. But I think if we're going to ask them to research tidelands and do core permits, that maybe we need to drop a little bit on the money side to show that we're negotiating with them at least a little bit.
I think probably we shouldn't offer to drop any money until they request it.
Well, I think they've already said if we dropped Entrance Island, we would drop it to, what was it, 500,000?
That was, that wasn't actually in writing. That was just in a conversation, so I'm assuming that might come back. But I feel we should ask for more. I know
right.
The likelihood of getting it is very unlikely, but we're just making a comment that we don't think 700,000 or 500, whatever, is going to be enough to get the docks up to an acceptable level of repair.
I'm less concerned with what the amount is, but I think we need to specify something.
I would agree with Cindy. I would like to get to Papke's, as another motion, and then address this question of funding. That's why I see it anyhow.
I can live with that.
So what's our position now? We're not going to put a dollar value on it. Steve, you want to come?
Just a reminder, if this on the Kuprinoff situation. Currently, the way the Petersburg Borough Charter reads, Kuprinoff cannot own it.
Right.
So, there is some steps that will have to be taken from a charter perspective. Might want to be, if we get to the point of drafting a letter, being very vague on that portion of Kuprinoff, is that, want the ability to maybe in the future give this to Kuprinoff without any problems. You couldn't do it at this point.
No, we realize we have to change the charter to do that, but we could mention that in the letter that we know that and we're in the process or could be in the process and it'd be done by October of 17.
Again, just as a reminder.
Right.
Don't want to tell the state you can – if they start trying to transfer it directly to Kuprinoff and it runs afoul of our charter, I don't know what would happen.
Just a little – food for thought on this. I know that the clock's ticking on our time we have left, so if we come up with a letter that's acceptable, we'll decide that here at the meeting. We'll fire it off to them. If they respond back like next week, which it might be tomorrow or as soon as they get the letter, we could maybe hold a special meeting to address just this issue. Does that sound, or is it important enough? I think it's an important enough issue. Mm-hmm. We need to keep, mm-hmm. once we get the ball rolling down the hill, we need to keep after it. Okay, now we have to come up with you want to address the dollar value separately in the letter?
And that's fine with me, but I do feel like if we continue to wait, the state is going to find themselves in a tougher and tougher spot, and we'll have less negotiating room, so I'd rather identify something that they obligate now, and then they have to live with it.
1.2 million, then.
Yeah, I would like, I'm in agreement with Cindy. I just like it's just kind of, I like to do that as kind of a third step here, or third mm-hmm. motion.
And that's brother. Fine.
But it's something we are going to include in this letter. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've discussed not accepting Entrance Island, accepting the other two with the agreement that we will be able to transfer 100% ownership to Kuprinoff. When our charter is changed to accommodate that, they've changed theirs to allow it. What else? Tidelands and...
which was an amendment to his. So I'll have to resend my second on his previous amendment, and then second this one.
Okay, so I just want to clarify.
Or motion. I'm sorry, motion.
I got it.
Sorry.
And I didn't scratch out your name and rewrite it this time. I was ready for you.
Okay.
But so I just want to make sure. I want to clarify. So we are talking about all three facilities now. We're not just talking about Entrance and Kuprinoff. Papke's is in there as well. Yes.
No. I want to address Papke's. I have a motion on the table. I want to address Papke's
separately
after this. After we go through this, if we can agree to this.
So this motion is saying no to Entrance Island, and we would accept Kuprinoff as long as we can transfer the ownership to Kuprinoff once our charter says we can, and we would like them to clean up, handle the core permit and the Tideland thing with Kuprinoff, yes? Thank you.
So that's all we're addressing now. And
yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
And we'll put money in there afterwards, Bob?
Yes, I have another.
We'll tie it all together later, I guess.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So it's okay, so if we're going to do it in this formal fashion, and we've got, what, two amendments so far?
No, just we're still just working on this one because no one seconded the second amendment.
So you did, we did, re-put the motion out that were, just like you said, just Papke's and Kuprinoff. Or Entrance Island.
Entrance Island and Kuprinoff.
So okay. With the...
If we can agree on this, and I'd like to move on to... back east and then move on to funding.
Okay. We could, if that's the method we're going to use, we'll just, okay, so I guess we'll vote on
amendment number one.
The amendment to change it to that. Okay. Call the roll, I guess. I thought we'd just have discussion and draft up a letter, but.
Okay.
That's a resolution.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so that amendment's passed. Now we're back to the main motion, right? So do we have to vote on the main motion, or are you going to modify it?
I probably modify it.
Well, are we not going to make another amendment?
I would like then to address PAPKIs is the next one.
Well, if we're going to address,
go ahead.
Excuse me for a minute, if we're going to address
all these will be in
separately, we should.
They're all in the same letter, Mark. I was just trying to clean it so that otherwise we get ourselves so balled up in so many of the issues is what I was trying to do.
Okay, so we vote to agree on what we decided with Entrance Island and Kuprinoff and then make a motion separate for PAPKIs and then include the funding in it?
Mm-hmm. I can do that.
Okay, so you got that, Debbie? We're back to the first main motion.
We're back to the first main motion.
The one that's going to...
The main motion, which ownership, was to accept.
Decline ownership of Entrance Island, accept Kuprinoff with the caveat that they've come up with the core permit, the Tidelands, they work on a Tidelands transfer from DNR, and that's...
Mark, that's what we just voted on.
Mm-hmm. That was the amendment.
We voted on, yes.
Right. We just voted on the amendment, right?
No, yep.
I'm confused, as you can tell, because now we're going to go back and talk about answering their question for just one entity, one facility. But
all of them have issues, Mark, as I see it, with Tidelands, with DNR involvement, with Corps of Engineers involvement, and so forth, and they're all different. And if we talked about them all, the reason I made the motion for the first two is I think we had some, we can get those out of the way. Well, I want them all in this. I'd like to see them all in the same letter. I'm with you. I would just like to kind of confine my discussion to one of those because PAPKIs is the one that's going to be the real issue, I think.
Mr. Mayor, yes. It might be a little bit messy, but I think maybe what Member Lynn would like to do is dealing with them separately. So the first amendment's been voted on. Now he'd like to make a second amendment and talk about that and vote on that. And if there's going to be a third one, and then go back and vote on the original motion, which was to accept. Does that make sense?
Sure. Okay, so we have someone that's going to make another amendment to the main motion.
All right.
I understand.
I want to talk about PAPKIs now, and then I'm going to open it. Before I make a motion, I want to open it up. PAPKIs is the one that kind of gives a heartburn to everybody who wants to talk about it. And since I'm one of the users, as Mr. Kensinger says out there, I have some not even acquaintance with it. I think it's time we look in the borough. You know, the Harbor Board, I'm going to disagree with my colleague to my right here, has a long time, had 6 months to help weigh in on it. Haven't done it. I think it's time we move on, and I think it's time we look at a new, what I'm going to call a new model here in the borough. PAPKIs Landing is kind of complicated. It's got the dock. The dock is DOT, is controlled by DOT. There's a Tidelands permit underneath that. It's DNR. There is the drive-down ramp, the facility, the parking area itself, both that's being used and the parking area that's to the, would be to the north of it, is all DNR. I've heard some people say, no, that's mental health. No, that mental health trust transferred that to DNR. So it's all DNR, all that area. And they have ownership of it. There is nothing...
Yeah, I'm just trying to get Kurt's attention. He's mentioned he had to leave for a doctor's appointment. I'm not trying
to
get
him out
of
the meeting. Thank you, Mark, for bringing it to my attention. I'll right at three things.
Okay.
So what we have is we have multiple ownership there, and we as a borough bought three lots there, or two lots. I'm not at any rate. So we have multiple ownerships there. The state right now does absolutely nothing there. That dock... Other than the money, I think that the locals have provided there, and the work that's been done has all been done by local volunteers. Money has been provided by the people out there. And I'm not, Donnie, I don't even want to get into that part. But my model is that we've got to resolve the overall ownership. To me, that whole area needs to be in borough ownership. That the dock, the parking lot, and the drive-down ramp, all that needs to be as part of the borough. I also believe that rather than to hire more people, which I don't agree with, and to charge people who don't use the thing, I think it's wrong. And so I think I'm where I am in back to is user pays. And so if we accept it, frankly, I think it ought to be user pays. I think that that whole area out there, we need to put into some kind of a lease, and it be run privately, eventually. Not right now, but eventually. And that part of those funds go to repair that, part of the funds go back, eventually, back to the borough, and part of them go to construction of that area and for doing the necessary patrols, maintenance, et cetera, out there. I think that Mr. Kensinger made a point about the people out there having some control. I'm not quite sure how to do that, but I do think they need to have some control of it and some say into what's being done out there. But I think that the business model needs to be different than what we've done and the business model there. And with that, I'll make one other point, and then I'm going to I'll stop for a minute. we as an assembly chose to take Woodpecker Cove. We chose to take Olson's log dump. Now, I know Olson doesn't have anything, but what Woodpecker does out there as part of our land selections. There's going to be needs for maintenance out in those facilities. There's some way we got to be able to generate those funds. I'm going to leave it open, but I have a proposal of how that might be done. But I think that it's time we look at a different business model as we're possibly doing this. And I would propose that we take Papke's, but with a whole bunch of different things, and that would be that DNR transfer us the drive down dock, the parking area, and the parking area to the north, that they work with us to clear up the Corps of Engineers permit there. I know we have one, but to make sure that it gets transferred, we don't have to spend $1 million to fix whatever the Corps of Engineers wants out there. And that then, after we do that, and then we need to decide how we're, this needs to go back into our letter. I also agree with Member Greger that, you know, I don't have any problem going back looking for a higher amount. What that is up for our discussion. But I do think whatever we agree to on a higher amount, part of that needs to go to maybe half of it to Kuprinoff if we were to take that. And with that, I'll leave it open for a minute.
So we still don't have a formal motion and a second.
I'd like to hear other thoughts before I make a formal motion on what we do here.
Did you forget about the tide lands under the approach to the float?
No, he mentioned.
No, I mentioned that. That we need to, that needs to be transferred.
Is that what you meant by the Corps of Engineers?
The Corps of Engineers permit for that facility and the tidelands permit that DNR holds too.
Well, I feel since we made a formal motion, amended it twice or whatever we did on the first one, I think we need to make a formal motion before we carry on with discussion on the Papke's issue. So we're on the record formally. That's how I would. That's what I would ask. So I entertain a motion of some kind.
I'll move that we accept Papke's Landing. That we ask DOT to work with DNR for the transfer of the drive down facility of the ramp and of the parking areas. Transfer it. Work with them to transfer those to the borough. That they work with the Corps of Engineers to transfer that permit to us, and that the tidelands permit that they now hold, that DOT now holds, be transferred to, they work with DNR to transfer that to the borough so we don't have to do it. And the other part of that is that I would go probably with $1 million for both facilities for funding to.
Okay, so that is the motion. Is there a second?
A second.
OK. Okay, seconded by Member Loganakis. Motion has been made by Member Lynn to accept Pappy's Landing Facility with the caveats that he mentioned. So Debbie's been riding like crazy over there, I'm sure. Jay, before you want to comment before you have to?
Yeah, absolutely. I like Kurt, need to walk out at 3. So in a perfect world, awesome. That sounds great. I think I'm of the opinion, though, that if in theory this is going to be an ongoing negotiation, it doesn't hurt to ask for more. 1.2, we'd pretty much be there in terms of, 50% matching for repairs. No, the rest makes sense. As you talked about, the tidelands, the ramp, it's messy. It'd be great to see them take care of that, and if they're motivated to get out of the dock business, hopefully they will.
Any other discussion? We're all looking kind of groggy. Nancy?
I have reservations about asking for the launch ramp and the uplands.
When you think back on when the engineer that did the study for us on evaluating the cost it was going to take to repair only the pier and the float at Pappy's and Kuprinoff, and then you start adding an old log transfer facility that wasn't ever designed to be a boat launch, which would fall off the end of it if you go down there at low tide. And people have been putting their own money into it, patching up the concrete stuff, which I really applaud the people that use it for putting their time and their own resources into it. But I think we have to really look at the liability associated with taking on these assets, if we still own them. And that one, we would own that whole facility if this, if they agreed to it. Whether they, I don't know if they'll transfer the log, give us the log transfer facility or not. They had a lot of heartburn when we even talked about developing anything in Olson's log dump because they didn't want to give up that as a log transfer facility site. So I don't know if the Forest Service gets involved or someone gets involved. But anyway, that's just my 2 cents at this point.
To answer your question, the Forest Service is totally out of it. That was transferred to DNR. So the DNR owns the whole thing.
So DNR owns the whole thing. Log transfer facility, okay. Yeah. Any other thoughts? Eric? Cindy?
I'm a little leery of getting too greedy. I think we certainly could use the money for maintenance, but the state's in a tough spot. And I don't think they have a lot of wiggle room.
I know they don't, but what our situation isn't any rosier.
It's going to cost them some staff time and money to deal with the permitting. And
unless they come back with a response as far as doing the DNR transfer, didn't we have to cough up some money to have their office work on the paperwork to transfer Scow Bay? So, that's why we need to get something drafted and shoot it off to them, but be careful it's not something they're going to accept that we can't live with, like $700,000 for two docks when we know they're going to cost 2.2 or 2.3 to fix. I knew this was going to be an interesting topic. Winter's here. We've got all kinds of stuff to talk about.
Nancy? Yeah. I don't think we should offer to accept less money until they require it. We should neither should we probably ask for more, but if we can do this process without mentioning money increases or decreases, I think it would be better.
I don't know how we could, just my opinion, I don't know how we could do that when we're responding to their offer. We have to say what, and like Steve, the manager said, if we give them an offer officially from the borough, we better be ready to accept it.
Well, we've changed the offer they made with all these restrictions already.
Substantially, yes.
So it's not even the same offer.
Well, it's a response to their offer is what it is.
Yeah. Then let them respond to the offer with more or less money or yes or no.
That's why, I see where you're coming from to make it more agreeable to them, but the $500,000 figure that Mr. Lukshin threw out, if we didn't take entrance island, that is not even half of enough in the matching grant program to get one facility up to standards as far as the engineer proposed. And then, there's other ideas out there that, some gentlemen, I don't know who they are, the brothers built this nice, beautiful steel dock down the Narrows a ways, but they don't have to build it to a certain standard. They don't have to pay Bacon Davis wages. And I'm sure they have a liability, but they've got fences on their dock to keep people off. We don't. Harbor Master would like to comment.
Harbor Master Glow Wallen, having been in the business of repairing, there are things that have to happen immediately if we take over ownership. Who's going to come sue the state of Alaska? Good luck. But we've been in lawsuits for things that, you know, users have done and slipped and fallen, and we've ended up settling out of court for medical issues, things like that. And there are things that need to happen right away. Kuprinoff is, you know, that's a huge thing. So you're going to dip into those deferred maintenance money right away if we take over some of these ownerships. You're going to dip into deferred maintenance money, even if you get a bunch of volunteers to do the work. Who's going to pay for the material costs? And I tried to, you know, spell some of those out. But those, you know, we're going to chip away on a lot of those costs. So shoot high. Shoot for at least Steve's number or higher. If you're going to start talking about putting in a new launch ramp, you're talking $1.6 million to put in a new launch ramp. What has been talked about out there. So it's a big cost to us, and I don't know if the general fund can handle it. The harbor sure can't handle that, because I don't know where you're going to get that revenue to come from. So,
well, you might want to stick. I've heard people say, well, on the launch ramp, we could get grant money for that, like we did for the South Harbor launch ramp. But then you're restricted on what you can charge. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah. No, that all comes with, we had to sign it was a 16-year contract for Dingell Johnson money to the last time we upgraded. And that was they came in, I think it was $700,000 on a partial rebuild of the South Harbor launch ramp. And, yeah, we have to adhere to whatever we agree to with the state at that point for a particular sunset at time.
Didn't that agreement include certain amount of parking lots for skiffs and trailers?
Oh, yes,
and
yes. We have 21 parking spots that we have got to provide, and they keep real close contact.
That's sports fishing.
Yep.
There's a lot of
rings.
Yeah, it's one of the hidden questions I think the Assembly needs to kind of wrestle with, which is, I've heard ideas about, local associations, charging people. I'm not going to doubt anything, but what's an agreeable number? Is it $200 a month? I mean, it sounds pretty high until you add up $200 a month for how many people, and that doesn't even come close to what the maintenance costs are going to be out there. I mean, so, not to try to belabor this whole issue, but the cost of maintaining that facility at Papke's in particular is going to be, it's not just a few hammers and nails. The other piece of this is, and we got some clarification on that, yes, we can use volunteers to do work. Somebody's got to buy the materials, and the work that's done has to be held to the same standard that we would use in one of our existing harbors. We have no choice on that. It becomes a huge liability issue if we don't. So it has to be supervised by somebody who knows what they're doing. I don't know that that's somebody from the harbor. I think it's probably we're back out on the open market looking for a contractor to supervise, a group of volunteers. So, again, that's, from our insurance carrier, that's just trying to, highlight some of the liability issues that we may have on trying to lower what we pay on maintenance. We may pay for it at the higher end because of an injury out there or something. So how we choose to pay for Papke's if the Assembly chooses to take it is going to be a big part of this equation. And, I'm no expert. I mean, whether a local association can levy enough user fees to make it pay off, I hope the Assembly takes that real seriously when you're doing those calculations, because if we're wrong, somebody's going to have to pay it. And it'll more likely be, the borough is going to have to pick up the pieces.
Bob?
you know, somebody who's standing up here said to me that you got to start someplace. And I took them to heart. And so that whole facility at Papke's, I mean, yeah, you could take it down, you could start over, but it really doesn't need that now. Yes, I agree that there needs to be, the float has got to be replaced, no question. But if we did it right, we could take that, we could take it piecemeal, for crying out loud. You don't need the whole thing. But, you know, I have talked to many, many people out there who use that. There's but only one person I've talked to that said they're not willing to pay. And I've asked all kinds of questions, and I said, how much you'd be willing to pay? And I, you know, people out there, I think you would be willing to pay up to, say, for an annual permit to come in and out of there would be $150 to $200 a year. You know, I mean, I know that's not high. And then I think there needs to be a commercial permit on that. If you did that, if you do what I'm suggesting, I'm guessing there's over 400 people, 400 permits you would sell. You know, that's not a heck of a lot of money. But over, and then I would argue that now you're collecting bed tax from those people out there, you know. And when you look at our ordinance says we can send it for recreation use. Why not take part of the $55,000 that we had last year and put it towards not just that dock, put it towards our those docks outside of town? If you did that, Steve, if you did what I'm suggesting, and if I'm anywhere near right, and you put it, you invested it, 1.25% of which is what ours is, within 6 years' time, you'd have about $500,000. If you waited 9 years, you'd have $1 million, and in addition to what you had. And I'm not advocating to do this overnight. You know, I'm advocating it over time that, yeah, things are going to change, and, yeah, it need to work. But you've got to start someplace, as I see it.
No argument on that. I mean, but let's take transient room tax that you brought up. It's currently allocated for other things. So what you're suggesting is we take that money away from, was it the Chamber of Commerce today? And the museum, mm-hmm. and allocate it for these docks. I mean, in other words, I just want to be really open. If we're going to get it from user fees, so be it. But the numbers you just gave won't be sufficient.
Oh, no.
Okay. If we're going to get it from a combination of user fees and, you know, bed tax numbers, then let's be out in the open. That money's going to come away from someone else. We're not creating a new revenue stream in that area. It's actually going to have to be rerouted. That's fine. That's up to the assembly to make that decision. But I just want to be open about it. My biggest concern is that the community goes into it and goes, well, it's just going to work out, and we find out it doesn't. And then what's going to happen is you're going to look to me and say, well, Steve, go figure it out. You know, and I'm going to look to Glow and Carl and say, we'll send somebody out there. And no finger pointing, Glow, because it goes both ways. And we now are back in the business of maintaining remote facilities, which is fine if that's what the assembly wants us to do. But unless we can come up with new revenue streams, it's a closed system. So if their folks have to go out there, those same folks are not going to be doing something else. And we're going to have to get into that conversation. And so that, I think Papke's does have economic value. I've never denied that. The problem is the decisions the borough assembly is being forced into have nothing to do with whether that's a good project or not. It has to do with, can we afford to do it? You know, heard me earlier, we got a hospital that needs help. We have school money that's disappearing. And, you know, do we have enough money to plow snow this year? I mean, it's basically, as we make these changes, it's pretty much a closed system unless we're talking about raising taxes or, you know, doing other things to get the revenue stream up high enough to support the want list that everybody has. That's my only concern. I mean, it's not that it's not a bad facility or, you know, anything else. It's how do we pay for it?
Yeah, I agree with the manager. There is use for the two facilities we're talking about, asking to take Papke's and Kuprinoff, but how do you afford to pay for it? And with the $700,000 or $500,000, it's not going to be enough to even get one of them up to snuff. And, you know, the liability is going to be out there, but it's a tough call. And like the manager was saying in the conversation we were having yesterday about, you know, just like he mentioned, the hospital and the school and the funding that's going to be lost to those two entities, we have to, it's going to be a juggling match. So how we word this, I mean, we have to make sure, like I said earlier, that we can accept it if they say yes. And maybe we need to discuss it at more length instead of just sending a letter off with, I mean, GLOW provided some numbers for us, but I haven't, you know, I looked at them, but if you add all those numbers in, you know, that money that even if we got 1.2 from the state, it'd be gone, poof. And then what? So I don't know. But it is time for us to come up with some kind of a reply to the state, or else have another, you know, if we're not comfortable with what we're talking about sending them now, maybe we need to spend more time on it. I mean, we can spend more time today. The five of us that are here. But, Nancy?
I'm not comfortable requesting the ramp, possession of the ramp and the uplands. I'd go for the float and the tidelands. I'd go for the float if we had the tidelands. But we can't afford the float, so how can we afford a ramp and parking?
Eric?
It sounds like the major limitation is money. So I think that, like Member Greger and Lynn have said, you know, and to shoot high, you know, if $1.2 million will buy us the beginning of it, then that sounds better off than $700,000, because if we did accept that with $700,000, we would be hard-pressed to be able to fund the rest of it. So I like the idea of shooting high and hoping for the best and hoping that the state really is eager to transfer this out of their hands.
I'm sure, I know they're eager, but whether, you know, the money is, you know,
yeah.
It's like the 25% reduction from our
money
that Jody talked about earlier.
I think, you know, the other thing to consider is having that dock there and the ramp there actually adds to the property values in that area. If that goes away, that's going to affect them negatively. So there's a lot of moving parts here that we have to consider. And I do see that having those facilities provide some economic opportunities and throughout the year, which is nice too, as well as recreational opportunities. So I'm saying this to the public, service area keeps popping up in the back of my head. I think at some point that's really going to have to happen out there. But I'm so torn about this. I don't feel like we can say no to Papke's. I'm really concerned about how we're going to pay for it.
I think that Eric mentioned, and like you just said, yeah, that's that appears to be the main concern,
mm-hmm.
And I think it is. And then on top of that, if we do take it, we can't fix it to an acceptable standard, does that make us even more liable for, you know, lawsuits?
I don't know, but those three parcels there, you know, kind of banking on the future of that area. So, okay.
So what are we going to ask for in this Papke's that we're just talking about, Papke's and money for two facilities now? 1.2, is that, I can't make a motion, but does that sound like a number?
Well, I had a million, and so with my motion, that included a million.
And I don't believe we had a second. I was busy writing,
no,
but
I didn't
write down
a second,
so it can be amended.
And I want to go back. Nancy's concern was taking those others over at this point, the ramp and the parking areas. What I hear you saying is just go for the float itself at this point and the tidelands under it from the Corps and then the Corps of Engineers.
Right, the float doesn't do us any good if they yank the tidelands, so we need to have that control of that as well.
I think we need the tidelands conveyed to us for any of the facilities we accept, and then
that's what I think.
You know, so if we don't take the old log transfer facility, which we're calling a ramp. If we don't take that, don't ask for that being conveyed, it doesn't mean we can't ask for that in the future.
Well, the other thing you could ask for, you're thinking of the drive down?
Well, the ramp where
ramp
people launch.
Yeah. And the parking lot. The other option I guess we have is to ask for that under our land selections, under the 14,000 acres.
That's a good point.
And I wondered if we had done that.
We have not. Wasn't on the committee. Bob's on the committee.
We have not.
And were you are going to have opportunity to possibly select more land. Another question would be, is that, Liz, is that an area where it's VUU land or not?
No.
Not. We can cross that bridge when we get there.
No, it is not.
Probably not, because it already has a designation and belongs to DNR. Yeah.
I'm going back now. Cindy's still thinking, I believe, that you don't ask for as much money. Is that your...
If we're going to make an offer, I want it to move forward. So I don't want to nix it, but I also am very concerned about the total dollar amount. And I guess they can always come back. I mean, if they've been calling you twice a week, they're eager to have to transfer that. So when they go low, we'll go high.
Well, if we go low, they might accept it, and then they're going to be with something we can't afford.
Okay, well, all right, I'll move to accept the ramp and the float at Papke's to ask them to convey the tidelands and to convey to us or with work with the Corps to convey the Corps permit to us for that float. And that we ask for $1.2 million for the two facilities.
Okay, so is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, so we have a motion on the floor to accept the facility that the state was intending to transfer to us, which is the pier, the ramp, the float, and we'd ask for tidelands, Corps permit, clarification, and $1.2 million. And that's for the two facilities and not taking entrance island.
Correct.
So what ramp? The drive, the boat launching ramp?
The pier.
The walk, the catwalk that goes out.
I can go for that.
Eric, you feel comfortable with that?
I do.
Okay. Jay and Kurt agree, so we're good. I guess we'll have the clerk call the roll.
Nancy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes. So you will draft this letter and...
I will draft the letter, but you do still have to vote on the original motion to accept all the docs, please.
Accept the two docs.
Oh, the docs. Accept the two docs.
Yeah. Okay, we're back. To the
As back. Amended.
As amended.
Yeah, that's why I'm getting...
Okay, I call
okay so we're going to... without any other discussion, if there is none, we'll vote to accept Kuprinoff and Papke's with the... we've asked them to add to them. So, call the roll.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Okay, it passes unanimously.
So, good job, you guys.
We need a break? Okay. We're going to make... this is going to be right to 5 o'clock, isn't it?
Holy cow.
Okay, we have the five assembly members back at the desk here. So the next item on the agenda under new business is G, and that's Petersburg Indian Association Cooperative Agreement. I would entertain a motion to accept that agreement.
So move.
I'll second that.
Moved by Member Loganakis, seconded by Member Castro to accept the Petersburg Indian Association Cooperative Agreement. And the Petersburg Indian Association requests the borough sign a cooperative agreement that will allow the association to receive Native American Housing Assistance funds to renovate their low-income housing apartment buildings located at 103 South 2nd Street and 104 South 3rd Street. So, discussion?
Just a question for the manager. In that agreement, as I read that agreement, it's going on in perpetuity, essentially. Should there be something in there, Steve, that, where we review that agreement every so many years?
We'd need to ask. I mean, we had the attorney review it, and she didn't throw that in, but we could definitely go back and ask. In other words, ask PIA. I don't know if that's a... factor of their funding, meaning, you know, that they want something, the government agencies that are providing their funding, you know, don't want to see limits on for long distance, forever. I don't know. We would have to ask them.
Yeah. Well, my question was, you know, if they lose their funding or there's circumstances, then that agreement still, but we ought to be able to go back and to change, you know, later on if the circumstances are there. That's where I was thinking of about a review or something. You know,
for those in the room who may not, what this one of the key elements of this these agreements are such that is that they don't pay property tax. Now, it's one way, particularly here in Alaska, where housing is so expensive, it's to try to make there an encouragement for people to do in very low income housing so that there's a safe place for people to live. The tribal groups have access to these kind of funds that a little more readily than we do. And so, you know, it helps them by, so that's why the funding agencies are asking for that. They want to make sure that they're, that's in that place to say, hey, fine, we're not going to fund this because the borough's not going to be charging them property taxes. But as far as a review of the contract, I'd have to ask. I just don't know.
Is this a time-sensitive situation? Could we table it and get the answer to that question and address it at the next meeting? Steve?
Oh. There is an exemption under property tax code that states that we will not charge property taxes for low-income housing, and that is owned or managed as low-income housing by the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation under AS blah, 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 or by a regional housing authority formed under AS 18.55. And I think PIA works with a housing regional finance corporation for this, so I think it just exempts them from property taxes anyway.
Agreed, but back to Bob's point, I don't know on the time.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sensitive.
And would it make any difference, do you think, Steve? I mean, I'm not trying to make, but I.
I don't think the use of that property is going to change. But, I mean, I don't think it hurts to ask them. I should have thought it ahead of time, but we can go back. I know they want it.
They actually were hoping to bring this agreement before their board tonight.
Oh, so it is time sensitive.
I don't know how time sensitive. I don't know what it will mean if they don't.
Nancy?
Is this an agreement we've had with them before?
It is not. It is an agreement that they found out should have been in place when they got the last money from the Alaska or Native, whatever it is, Native American Housing Assistance. And so it was brought to their attention that this needed to be completed. So the first draft of this agreement that we got was sent to the attorney, and the attorney completely revamped it. And I sent it back to PIA, and PIA made a couple changes, and the attorney said, yeah, okay, those couple changes are okay, and here we are.
Well, this is just to guarantee that they still get the funding for...
Correct. This agreement has to be in place in order for them to receive the funding.
Yeah. Any other discussion?
And it doesn't cost us anything.
Right. Clerk, call the roll.
Mark.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to the next item. We have approval. It's item 16-306, approval of the fiscal year 2018 budget calendar and fiscal year 2018 budget policies and the community service questionnaire to go along with the people that we, you know, asked for grants that we are asking them to fill out a questionnaire. I'd entertain a motion to approve these three items.
So move.
Second.
Moved by Member Lynn, seconded by Member Castro to approve these three items that I just mentioned. Discussion?
I'm excited to see this. I think that the community service questionnaire will be a benefit to us come budget time.
I think so. It'll clarify a lot of issues ahead of time instead of addressing it at that time.
Yeah.
This is the same thing we do every year, right?
I don't know that we had a questionnaire like this formal, did we?
Sorry.
Well, we added some stuff to it, if I remember.
We had a questionnaire last year. It was kind of after budgets went out, and we decided to revamp it this year. I've made changes per some of your emails. This has been sent out to the assembly prior. I left some things in that some other assembly members asked me to remove because another assembly member asked me to put that in. So now's the time to change it if you want to change it or discuss any of the questions.
I looked it over and didn't see, well, anything that raised a red flag with me anyway.
Just one thing, and just drawing your attention to it, the last couple of years, Jody and I had tried to, you know, earmark tobacco tax money for other projects. You've told us no. We did not even try this year, but this is the time if you wanted to do something different with that or how that money is allocated or anything related to the budget policy. We want you to make this decision. On the other hand, we understand that you had a lot on the plate for this meeting. It's really important that we get these things correct so that I can give department heads direction on how to build their budgets. So if you think you need more time.
Like you said, 2 years ago, we tried to allocate all of the tobacco tax to the hospital fund, and that was turned down. And then last year I presented in the budget policies 50%, and that was turned down. And now the general fund's relying on some of that tobacco tax. So if you were going to do that, you know, maybe not 100%, but there, we have to do something about our hospital soon. Oh, we've heard all the stories, so we need to start building up the fund.
But yeah, and the broader sense, what I'm saying is these items are really important. I would encourage the assembly, if you need more time with this, just tell us that, and we'll make adjustments. So we can bring it back next meeting if need be.
How does the assembly feel? Do you want to have another couple weeks to digest it? Or do you feel comfortable with voting on this present?
I'm comfortable with that. But I do have a question, a little bit different. Is it this coming year, you know, Jody, we just got paying 25% more on our bond, you know, on our bond debt. We also know that the community fund sale or the community jails funding is going to go down. We know that we're going to lose other funds. Before you get into the point of handing this all over to the department heads for next fiscal year, would it be helpful to go through with the assembly what you think our income is going to be and what our outgo is before you spend way a lot of time to get involved?
I appreciate the question. The problem is we have no idea. I mean, my guesses are as good as anybody's, I suppose, but reality is until the state starts their session and actually decides on things, we have no idea. We don't know what they're going to do. Lieutenant Governor was here and, you know, was optimistic that the legislature has to deal with Alaska's fiscal realities. I'm glad he's that optimistic. That can change. I mean, the governor at one point made the statement that, you know, his budget, lacking anything done by the legislature, will get rid of all on-behalf payments. Okay, for example, PERS, instead of paying 22%, we would pay 100%. Okay, that's a number I can't even anticipate. I mean, you know, that hits the hospital, that hits the school. I don't want to put department heads through an exercise when it's such a huge unknown. I mean, what we can do is we get them started on it. The budget policy that's in front of you gives enough latitude for them to start on it. And honestly, we'll probably end up approving a budget at some point that you're going to have to come back and amend once the legislature finally agrees on what they're going to do. And that's probably the easiest thing for us rather than trying to anticipate stuff that we have no way of anticipating, really.
So you're thinking right now to come in underneath or at where you were this year? Is that your thinking? Or
we've purposely reduced community jail and community revenue. For example, we got 500 and something thousand in community revenue sharing. We budgeted 330,000. I mean, so we're making some adjustments internally. and then doing a budget based upon that. We're assuming that we're not going to get secure rural schools, so that the payment will come out of the fund, as an example. We're assuming our PILT payment from the feds is going to be the same, when in fact we've actually been told it might go up. So we'll assume the lower number on purpose. PERS, we're going to assume no change just because, because I honestly don't know how to deal with it if they raise it without absolutely major cuts in places. And what are the other ones we worry about? Community jail, I think we'll get the 173 that we're getting now. I just don't know how far into the future we'll get it, or what that means. We may get 173, but find ourselves being parole officers here.
Well, and the reason why this calendar is in front of you now is because we're starting our budget process now. I'm going to email out spreadsheets to all the department heads, and they're the ones that are going to know and crunch their numbers for their departments and know exactly what their expenses, what they need. We can't do that for them. I mean, that's part of their job.
Yeah.
And so when they need to turn them in is February 15th, and then we will put something together and we'll present it to you, and then that's when we start having work sessions and talk about things, and maybe we'll have a little bit better idea of where the state's at. And
well,
hopefully.
Well, they'll be in session for a month before you even get the stuff back from the department head, so that maybe we'll have a better picture of the state's position. Maybe not.
I just want to make a couple comments. One, I see that we have the restriction for within state travel for borough employees unless they need to get relicensing or certification, and I appreciate that. I would like to amend the motion to approve this by deleting item 10 on the community services questionnaire. I think there's I don't think it's up to us to have a big community discussion about what people get paid in different nonprofit organizations. What we want to know is, are the organizations capable? Are they meeting their mission? Are they using our money to meet the goal that they've requested the money for? I think that this could go off on a tangent that we really don't want to be the referee for. And a lot of nonprofits don't even have paid salary folks, so it's a very unequal conversation. So I am making the motion that we drop that off of the consideration for the community questionnaire. Otherwise, I'm okay with the rest of it.
So this is one of those questions that one of the other assembly members put on here, and I told everyone, you guys can vote on it and decide. And so the question is, if anyone doesn't have it, please provide the name, title, and annual salary for the two highest paid employees in the organization. So.
Is it important to know what the salaries are out of the organizations and maybe leave the names and titles out?
They're providing a financial, they're going to provide financial reports.
Provide a copy of your annual financial statement, so that would cover the, is there a second to Cindy's motion?
I was going to second Cindy's motion.
Okay, a motion has been made and seconded to remove item 10 from the community service questionnaire. Any discussion? Okay, on that note, we'll clerk will call the roll.
Mark?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Okay, item 10 will be removed from the community service questionnaire. So is there any other changes before I ask for a vote for the approval of the calendar, or for the calendar and budget policies and questionnaire?
Jody, how much would it affect the general fund and therefore the borough if we did elect to split the 50% to the tobacco excise tax?
Sorry. Currently, we bring in about $250,000 a year. So we would need, right now we subsidize. There are some things we could do differently that we did this year. We transferred $100,000 into the municipal building project, which we hadn't originally budgeted for. We subsidize assisted living, which we need to continue to do. So we could keep more fish tanks. there's, you know, who knows what the marijuana excise tax is going to do. That will go, though, I guess, directly to the property development fund. There are different things that we could do. It would be okay. I think it would be good. I feel like we need to start doing something.
Yeah, I guess that was just kind of answering my question right there. Initially, it was my very first meeting back in October, and I ended up voting for 100% of the tobacco excise tax to go to the general fund, and I was kicking myself ever since then, because that's the reason I didn't vote for it, is because I didn't realize that I saw that it was just going to the general fund, and I like that. So,
well, and if we put in that policy, we could. That would just, that gives direction to Steve and I of what you want to do, and we will try our best to do it. And mm-hmm. The budget goes in front of you, and if you don't like it, we change it.
So this is the opportunity to change the allocation of that, the excise tax?
For the budget.
For the 17-18?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
So are you going to make a motion to that effect?
I make a motion then to reallocate that funding from the tobacco excise tax, 50% toward some hospital development fund for a much-needed renovation or replacement, and then the other half going to the general fund.
I second.
Okay, motion's been made by Member Castro, seconded by Member Loganakis, to restrict the use of the tobacco tax, lack of the proper term, to 50% to the general fund, 50% to a fund dedicated to the hospital. Is that correct? Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll. Nancy, do you have your
hand? Yes.
No. Okay.
Bob?
No.
Nancy?
No.
Mark?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Okay, the motion fails 3-2. So I don't see why that can't be brought back up when we have a full assembly. Is that correct? Okay, so now with that amendment failed on the proposed budget policies, is there any other changes before we... Okay, will the clerk call the roll on the main motion to approve the fiscal year budget calendar, budget policies, and community service questionnaire?
Nancy?
Pardon, what is the question?
Main motion is amended for the two items. We're voting on the calendar,
yes.
The policies. Okay.
Thank you. Bob?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Okay. The approval of those three items passes unanimously. And there's a little clarification on this next item, 16-307, approval to sell a portion of Lot 14, which lies within the runway protection zone right away, to the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. And to sell land, we have to do it by resolution. So I believe the clerk's going to present this to us at the next meeting in the form of a resolution. So
yes, I apologize.
So is that acceptable to the assembly? I guess that we have to.
Yeah, I do have a question. I can't tell from this chart or map or whatever, this drawing, where this is exactly.
Just on the north end of the runway, or Liz, quick description, please.
Kind of across the street from the dog park, if that helps you.
Well, this, but where?
Across the street from the dog park.
Towards your house from the end of the road.
Right. They go right over my head, and they're worried about airplanes crashing there.
I have to look at it like Sandy Beach Road here.
Right here.
Cabin Creek Road this way, Hagen uh-huh. Drive here.
Right.
Yeah, dog park over here.
Right.
There's
so
Beach
right
Park.
Here?
Yep, right here.
And it's not the whole parcel, it's just...
Are we going to sell it to them?
It's...
$8 million.
We'll have it next time, huh?
It's not selling the property, it's selling an easement.
Oh, no.
Sorry. Okay, it's selling an easement, which allows DOT to go in there and clear trees that might be too high to prevent any development on that lot that could impede landing of aircraft. So if you read, you know, they have a draft easement in there, and so it kind of reads what it gives them the right to do on that property. But it's not actually selling their property, it's just selling an easement.
And that's $7,500 one-time fee, or is it an annual?
$7,950.
No, it's just the one time. Just for your information, I did run the property past the assessor, and that lot has a covenant on the deed. So when the city got it from the state, the deed specifically says that that property can only be used for public recreation. So it's not like we could just develop it into whatever or sell it off and allow someone to develop it. So if it was used for something outside of public recreation, we would have to revert it back. It would revert back to the state of Alaska. So the value of it is not very high based on that. And so the assessor said that if we were to get more than $5,000, then we were doing well, which so I guess we're doing well.
Yeah, that clarifies the the fee. All right, so we'll address that at the next meeting. We're gonna get some of the discussion out of the way. Next item on the agenda is 16-301, and this is an approval of a letter of support for Alaska Airlines providing essential air service to Petersburg as well as other small communities.
I so move.
Second. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, moved by Member Logadakis, seconded by Member Lynn to approve this letter supporting essential air service. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Cindy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Okay, next item on the agenda is communications, and we have received a letter from WAVE from their chairperson, Leah Stanton Greger, and Annette Wooten, executive director, thanking us for the funding last year that helped them get going, and now they've received a large grant, which will help them into the next 3 years. So thank you for the letter. Next item on the agenda is assembly discussion items, and is there any recognitions? That's item A.
I have a recognition.
Okay.
I'm long overdue. Our volunteer fire department, our EMTs, and our search and rescue, and they've all been busy. There was somebody lost on Raven's Roost, and they found him by, I don't know, midnight or something. The firefighters responded to a trailer fire, the trailer was destroyed, but it could easily have spread. And, of course, the EMTs are busy all the time. I don't know how they do these things. They're getting low on volunteers. They need, I don't know. Anyway, we need to thank them profusely.
I agree with that recognition. I've had a little conversation with some of the people from the two of the three entities, and you know, try to meet with them, try to figure out some kind of an idea to incentivize the program or give them more incentive to join. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we have a little bit of a property tax thing and a meal once a month or something, but maybe with the numbers getting down, maybe we as an assembly should brainstorm that with those three entities. Any other recognitions?
I have one, and she's in the room. I would like to recognize Chris Norris, who was received an award from BP and YWCA as a woman of achievement for 2016 for the state of Alaska. Congratulations. Right. Chris has been involved in any number of boards around the state and also locally, including the Nature Conservancy, Alaska Community Foundation, and the Petersburg Community Foundation, and also works for Icicle Seafoods. And so thank you very much for your community and your statewide efforts.
Thank you, Chris. Eric?
And I also wanted to specifically acknowledge a number of individuals who helped me out while I was away from town. I had a skiff sitting really low in the water and a series of Good Samaritans ended up helping make that event turn out positively. But more than that, I wanted to recognize the aspect of the community that I love most about Petersburg, which is that we're more than just a town. We're actually a community of citizens willing to help out those in need. And thank you, everybody.
Boy, it's a great place to live. Any other recognitions? Okay, one other item was added to the agenda at the start of the meeting, 17B, discussion on harbors. Do you feel we've talked about that enough, Bob, or do you want to keep that on the agenda?
No, let's take it off.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Don't move.
Okay, we're adjourned at 3:50 p.m. I think I just set the record for the longest meeting.